Hello and welcome to the No BS Approach to Motherhood podcast, hosted by Catherine Hay and Shelley McKenzie. We are both mothers and clinical nutritionists who specialize in women's health. We are here to not only bring you the most up-to-date nutritional and health advice when it comes to fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and children's nutrition, but our main goal is to break through the BS that can come with motherhood. No topic is off limits, so grab a cuppa or a glass of wine and join us for another raw and real conversation surrounding motherhood.
We are back for a big catch-up episode, which we haven't done since the start of the year, right?
Oh, has it been that long? Yeah, look, it's been a while.
And there's been a lot of moving parts to both of our lives and some really important topics that we wanted to cover just with our general day-to-days and what's been happening in our lives, which also will shape and support anyone going for health checks and things like that. We also wanted to mention the podcast is still up and running. We are here. We aren't dropping episodes every week at the moment just because we're trying to find the right person to take over the podcast in terms of supporting us with social media. If you know of anyone, please slide into our DMs because we have a job for you. But we're here. We will be uploading our episodes, but they're just going to be a little bit more ad hoc. But if you've got any people you want us to interview, anything like that, please, please let us know, because this podcast brings us so much joy and obviously our listeners so much joy. So we're here. It's just not happening every week like it was.
Yeah. And if you're subscribed, then obviously you'll get the alerts when they've gone live anyway, the episodes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, Shell, fill us in. What's been happening in your world? Because a lot has been happening and there is definitely some little, I guess, take-home messages in here with what's been going on. So fill us in.
Mate, where do I start?
Seriously, I know.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so the last 6 months, crazy. Crazy for us. A few things that have gone on that have sort of like, so first of all, my dad in September was diagnosed with a rare kidney cancer. And so from there, he had to have surgery to have his kidney removed and then chemo after that. And so obviously with that, having my dad diagnosed with cancer and not knowing the outcome, there was that mental stress. But then also from a Maka, myself and my kids, mum and dad are our biggest support people. And so dad, he did his treatment here in Melbourne, but we were really conscious that as he went through his treatment, I was not wanting to expose the boys particularly to him, because with daycare sickness, it can take 3 days before something arises once they've been to daycare. And so I just was really nervous of getting him sick and then him not being able to do a treatment. And so, yeah, mum and dad are, you know, they're, if we need a babysitter, we pick up the phone and call them and they literally drop everything and come to us and help us. They drive 3 hours and they're always here. So we really miss that side of things as well, and that family support. So that was big from both aspects, like, and I guess two different kind of stresses, because Maka and I really had to rally together even more so as a team to really make our life work with little support around us. And the support, I guess, that we do have were absolutely incredible. But yeah, it was like, it was a big deal. So that's good. So that was not good.
No.
That was that.
It was a full-on time, and it was an interesting time, you know, being close to you through it too, because we really didn't know what was happening with your dad. He'd kind of pull through and then next minute there was a big emergency and he's really sick and he's back in special care. Or I remember that time where it was really touching with him, and it was really full on.
It was really full on. That was Christmas, actually. That was what happened at Christmas time. So we had them for Christmas Day, but then not after. So again, like, Christmas was just different for us because we didn't have mum and dad there. And yeah, it was a really, really strange time. The kids couldn't really understand why they weren't seeing their granny and Poppy so much, like, even though they knew they were here. I did at one point take the boys to the hospital because mum was like, no, it's fine. I think it was on a Monday and we had been, the last day they'd been at daycare was a Thursday. And I was like, I think we're clear of sickness. So we did see them during that time, but it was like very short sort of gaps. And I'd make sure that we were well out of the woods in terms of daycare sickness. But, you know, I took the boys to to a hospital one day and to see dad and Van. It took a while for him to respond to dad in like a loving manner again, because he just kept going, Poppy's sick, like I'm not going near Poppy, and wouldn't touch him, didn't want to talk to him. So that was really interesting. That literally took like months because Van just saw the hospital. So anyway, so yeah, interesting time. But anywho, dad about a month ago got the all clear for now. He has to have 3 monthly checks and yeah, we're all good. He's doing well now. So that's great. But then on that as well, and this, I guess, so I have a very large family history of cancer. So every type of cancer you can imagine is basically within my family. And I guess the most relative to me and my health history is like my cousins, my grandma, my aunties. So melanoma and breast cancer are the two biggest ones that are relevant to me. But then, I mean, you know, all my grandma's siblings all died of various cancers. Oh, and obviously the kidney cancer now as well. Yeah, so we have a long list of cancer and deaths within our family. And I have been really slack with getting my checks done. I always get my pap smear, and that's just because mainly because I've been having kids. So it's a routine check, which is great. But yeah, I've just been slack. And so I went to the doctor before Audrey was born, and I said to her, I really need to get my health checks in place. And I told her my family history, and she's like, you can't mess around with this. We need to set up an ongoing plan so that you're getting certain tests done every yearly or every 2 years. And so the doctor gave me a bunch of referrals, and they have sat there ever since. And so that was pre-Audrey. Audrey's now 9 months, coming on 10 months soon. And in more recent times, a friend of mine got diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's got kids the same age as Van and Lenny. And so obviously that was like a massive shock to the system. Again, it was a shock to the system because I just was, you know, that I guess mourning for her and her life and what her and her family are about to go through. But then it was like, oh my gosh, I also have little babies that I need to be looking after myself for and making sure I'm on top of this stuff. So mum came down for a week last week, and I literally booked in all of my health checks. I just left Audrey with her and got everything done. So I got a mammogram done. I got a breast ultrascreen done, and then I got a full skin check done. So I guess with the mammogram, that was a really interesting experience, and most of our listeners are going to be probably around our age, I'm assuming. So most will know of a mammogram as a check that you get done 50 and above. My doctor suggested I get it done now, just a precaution. And so I went and got that done, and it was really interesting. The one where they squeeze your breast in between like the plates. I was a little bit scared.
I've never had one. So talk us through it and what you're feeling.
Yeah. So I was a little bit nervous about it all. The sonographer, she was really lovely. And basically they like literally just put your boob up on this plate, mm-hmm. and she moves you in all of these different positions, like moves your shoulders and your arms so that your breast is sitting on the plate in a certain way. And then she lowers down the top plate, and it does squeeze your breast, but it wasn't painful at all. Mm-hmm. And others may have had different experiences. And I don't know if ages also play into this, because the reason most women typically under the age of 50 don't get mammograms is because our breast tissue is quite tender. And so mammogram for our age bracket under 50s isn't actually the most accurate screening for breast cancer. And so 50 and above, the tissue has obviously softened and loosened and stretched and all the rest of it. And so they can really like get the breast in there and push those plates down and see a lot more. So that was really interesting. So yeah, they did, I think, 3 or 4 different photos on each breast. It was quite quick. I think I was in there for about 10 minutes and that was it. And so then after I got that done, I went just to another room and got a breast ultrasound. And that I actually found probably more confronting. I do my own self-checks at home. And the reason I found this one confronting, because I guess in the mammogram, she's trying to get me in a certain angle and there wasn't a lot of chatting going on. Whereas in the breast ultrasound, she puts the gel on and she's sort of like massaging my breast and looking in her computer screen. And she's like, oh, so you haven't felt any lumps or anything? And I was like, no. She's like, okay. And do you do your own checks? And I'm like, yes. She's like, okay, definitely no lumps. And at one point I said, can you see something? Because she just, and she's like, no, I just have to ask these questions. And I was like, all right, but you've asked them once. Like, so I started getting really nervous that I'd missed something. And she's giving nothing away because they can't. And so then they do the other breast and she sort of asks similar lining of questioning, but sort of, yeah, a little bit different. So that was probably more nerve-wracking for me. And I left the breast ultrasound knowing that that's the most accurate way for, you know, our age group for breast cancer to be picked up. So I guess what would happen is an ultrasound, if they found anything, then a biopsy to see what that actually is. And so I felt more nervous leaving the ultrasound because of the line of questioning. Yes. And I honestly, when she left, she's like, I'll just clear up, leave you some tissue to clear up the gel. And I laid back on the bed, put my arm up and started feeling around my breast thinking I'd missed something. Like I was quite paranoid. You get your results back within 24 hours. I was taking Audrey to the doctors the next day to do her first rounds of vaccines. And while I was there, I said, can I just get my results? And they were all clear, thankfully. But yeah, that was a really interesting experience. And then from there, I went to the skin clinic and had all of my moles checked as well. And again, that was a pretty easy, non-invasive, I mean, nude, but I had knickers on. But yeah, they just with like, you know, a light and this, what are those like eye?
Microscope.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm losing my words. So yeah, she put that on just around my moles and checked everything. And I guess, again, from there, I don't know how closely mum's a nurse, that those little microscopes they use, they can see deeper into the actual moles. And if anything looks sinister, then they would do further testings and bring it up on the screens and all that. But she said to me at the time, you're all good. My doctor, the reason I went to her for a skin check was because when I went back before Audrey was born, I had just gone to my GP for a skin check and she'd started doing it. And then she was asking me about my family history, and based on my family history, she honestly just didn't feel comfortable not sending me on anywhere else. Yeah. And so that's why I ended up going to her. Some GPs have gone on and done the further education to do skin checks there. She obviously hadn't. And so I appreciated that she'd sent me there. So anyway, everything was all good. But yeah, that was sort of, I guess where I'm at. I'm so grateful that my tests were all clear. And I said to Maka, that's just peace of mind. I've been advised to do the mammogram every 2 years and the breast ultrasound and skin check every year. So I will, now that I've done that, you know, it's like ripping off the Band-Aid, right? Now that you've done it, I actually will routinely keep that up. But it's also just been hard. Like I've got 3 kids to try to get to these appointments too. And, you know, it's like I don't want to use that as an excuse, but it is. Yeah, it's like I've got to drag. I could do it on a daycare day, but I've still got Audrey at home with me. So I'm literally just dragging her around everywhere, you know? And yeah, so I've just been putting off. Anywho, all done. Glad. We're good.
And I think this is a really big take home message for anyone listening, right? Is you've got to get your checks done. And especially if you've got a strong family history around more of these chronic diseases, which prevention is key, even in, you know, holistic medicine that you and I work in, we always bang on about prevention. So your skin checks, your breast screens, you know, pelvic ultrasounds, whatever they are, blood tests, you know, for Hashimoto's, for instance, all of these need to be done, and it's an insurance policy, right? And you said how much better you felt. It's like, okay, my management plan now is, you know, 24 months, 12 months, whatever that looks like, but you know that's what you need to do to keep on top of health prevention, right?
Exactly. And now that I'm in the record at these places, they've already said, we'll send you a message at 12 months, we'll send you a message at 24 months. And so I will get that alert and I will absolutely not ignore it because, yeah, I mean, watching my friend, and I guess the next 12 months for her, 6 months particularly, but 12 months is just going to be hectic. And so it's just that reminder constantly to make sure I do not get these, like, let this slip, because I just would never forgive myself if I hadn't, or had been really slack, and, you know, I ended up with some form of cancer and I hadn't been doing these tests that could have picked it up early or prevented it, you know.
It's so funny you say that. So we've got melanoma in my family too. And Nick hasn't had a check, my husband, since, I think 2018. And I bang on about it. I'm like, come on, come on. But it's also, they have to take responsibility too, right? So we have to take responsibility too to do our checks. Mm. And I have always gone to a dermatologist who's specialized in skin cancer like yourself. And it was interesting. That was always done in Byron Bay. And again, they got all my records, all the photos, the big ones, all of that. And I was going 6 monthly. Then I obviously had Sunny. I have to now drive down to Byron, which is, you know, 50 minutes mm. to try and get that check done. And I just couldn't find the time. So I went to my local GP. He'd done the extra training in the skin cancer, checks. However, he was like, yeah, I don't need to see you for 12 months. And I just still don't feel confident enough. So mm. I've actually booked back in with the skin cancer clinic that I was seeing in Byron for May, because I was like, I don't know, I just really want the top continuity of care, because it runs in our family and we know how quickly melanoma can progress as well. So I really like that you mentioned that if you feel, you know, maybe like, well, your doctor mentioned it, you know, she didn't feel comfortable, she sent you on and had a referral. I think that's really important too. When you're getting your checks, make sure you feel confident with the specialist or the person that you're getting your checks with.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because Mac has been like that to me, like you are with Nick Macca, for probably a year. Have you gone and got your health checks? Have you gone and got your health checks? Just knowing how prolific breast cancer and cancer is within my family. And I'm like, oh, no, I haven't yet. I've got the referrals there. And there'd be little things that would spark his mind to say that to me as well. But it is, yeah. It's like I had to really just be ready to go and start this process, I guess. And, and, you know, I'll be forever grateful to my friend, as shitty as her situation is, it did prompt me to go and get, and many others around us, to go and get those checks done. So that's, yeah, it. It's important. Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's me. So
a lot going on, darling, and a lot. And so, you know, the news about your dad is obviously so fantastic, because I can't imagine, you know, the mental toll that takes, you know, not it's kind of the unknown, and then you're just this waiting game for such a long period of time, and a period of time where it was summer and it was Christmas, like you said, like all the changes that happened in that period of time. How was your mental health through all of that?
Oh, you know me, I'm pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you might answer differently. Who knows?
You're strong in the mind, definitely.
Yeah, I am. And yeah, it's funny because we actually thought when Dad was first diagnosed, we didn't quite believe it, because we were like, surely not Dad, like he's got no cancer in his family and Mum's got all of this cancer, and we were just like, this is almost laughable that this is Dad and not Mum, like, you know. So yeah, anyway, and it's Dad's story, I guess, as well. He's known for years something isn't wrong, and he kept going and getting checks, and in the process found out he had osteoporosis and celiac disease, and doctors just kept putting it down to that. And so they were finding other conditions. And so for years, Dad hasn't felt right, but they just kept going, oh yeah, it's just this, it's just that. And then after the celiac diagnosis, they don't eat a heap of gluten anyway, Mum and Dad, and now they eat none, but after he went even fully gluten-free and everything, he was still showing up with signs and symptoms, but he just wasn't getting that care. He kept going back thanks to mum, dad wouldn't have otherwise. So again, it's that whole, and I say this over and over, but if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. And you have to keep going and getting answers, even if that means going to different doctors or going to different specialists or whoever you need to see, different healthcare professionals to get those answers. Because if dad didn't go, like his tumor was 5 centimeters by 5 centimeters, a kidney is up to 12 centimeters by 12 centimeters. So his tumor was half the size of his kidney. And so, you know, like it's got no idea how quickly that was growing or anything, because it was, they found it and just removed the kidney straight away. But another lesson I think for everyone is, if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not. Like, you know your body better than anyone else. And I think we just have to just continue being the advocate for our own health and not take no for an answer. It's the same as my friend, you know, she got sent away by the doctor saying, it's a little lump, it's fine. It'd grow in a double size in 2 weeks.
Shit.
You know, so it's this thing, it's like, and luckily she's a bit of a bulldog, so she actually didn't take that first no and made them ultrasound it, but they didn't biopsy it. So, you know, it's this, you've just got to keep on searching. Doctors are not the end all be all. They do not know everything. They are GPs, they are general practitioners, they specialize in general health. They know a little about a lot of things. And I'm not saying that they're not amazing or there's not amazing ones out there or, you know, whatever. We need them, obviously. But what I am saying is we need to remember that they're a general practitioner. In yours and my field, Cappy, we specialize in something. Like, it's rare not to find a nutritionist or a naturopath who specializes in something, because that is what we dedicate our education to. We are continually looking at research and looking at different courses and forever educating ourselves so that we have the most up-to-date knowledge. You can't do that in every area of health. You simply can't. And so for a GP, a general practitioner, again, and some naturopaths are nutritionists, a general naturopath and nutritionist as well. So again, you go to them for general health, right? And so this is what we really need to remember when we are going to GPs. Like, you know, and I'll give an example, and I don't mean to go on a little rant, but yesterday, and I get this question at least once a week, a pregnant client of mine was told straight away, go off beef liver because of the vitamin A content. Right. And this is just
why? Where's the information about why and the science to prove that? It's been debunked so many times.
And, you know, I'm so glad that my clients still come to me and ask those questions, obviously. And they're like, I knew you would have my back and I knew you wouldn't have me on anything safe. I just wanted to ask a question. I'm like, totally cool. But where I'm going with this is, like, our OBs or our GPs or whoever you're seeing, you know, again, as you said, that research is on synthetic vitamin A, very high doses during pregnancy. And as you said, it's been debunked so many times. Like, no one's saying go off carrots during pregnancy because of the vitamin A content, are they? Carrots also contain vitamin A, let's face it. Like, you know, so do tomatoes, so do capsicums, so do, you know what I mean? And so it's just
and
that.
And it's not synthetic, you know.
It's not synthetic. It's a food source. And so this is where I'm going with this, is like, that research is well and truly outdated, yet someone in that field has not gone and educated themselves around that research. And so this is where I think, you know, that's where our profession really plays into this, because we do look at that research every single day. We're updating our knowledge, you know what I mean? And so, I've gone on a little bit of a rant, but I just think sometimes we place so much trust in a GP, a general practitioner, and we really shouldn't for everything. We need to remember that they're general health only.
Agreed. You've said it so eloquently. I agree with you 100%. 100%. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I love a rant. You know I'm all for a rant. I'm usually the one doing the rant, so I'm happy you went on a rant.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so that's me. What's happening with you?
I guess mine all kind of ties into health as well, like bringing it back. So it's been an interesting couple of months for me. I guess I'll start with the precancer cells for the SYN3 that obviously I was diagnosed with last year, and that took a big toll on my mental health, right? You know, it's like that thing. It's like, you know, you got to go and have your cervical cancer screening done. And it's like, you never really expect to hear, oh, actually something is wrong. You know, you kind of, well, I didn't anyway. But so I was due to have my next round of biopsies in March this year. So I went in and I expected I'd have the biopsies done. However, I sat down and had a conversation with him first, and he said, oh, we're probably not going to need to biopsy. I'm just going to put the dye on your cervix today and that should be it. I'm feeling pretty confident. I was like, okay, great, awesome. Might not even need to have biopsies because I don't really want to go through that again. And again, it was day one of my period. For some reason, it always has lined up with my period. And it's like, can I get it done? Like, please don't heavy flow just yet. And I'm lucky, even with endometriosis, the first few hours are a sweet spot. So I got it in the first few hours.
That's just always like another stress on top of your already stress of the procedure, is that you potentially will have your period. Like, exactly. That week leading into it every time.
Every time. And it's just a bit terrifying in front of a male gynecologist, you know, legs apart, bleeding, you know, it's just something I really don't enjoy at all.
Fair call.
Anyway. He put the dye on, he was like, oh, there's a little bit here I'm not too sure about. And he took 4 or 5 biopsies. Like, he just kept puncturing my poor cervix. And I just think, God, what's left of that? What's left of my cervix? Like, what's actually left? And he said to me, you know, it'll take about a week, 1 to 2 weeks for your results. Fantastic news. I'm all in the clear. Everything came back normal. I have to just have now routine biopsies every 6 months, I think, for the next 2 years maybe, and then hopefully if they all come back negative, then I can jump onto the 5-year cervical cancer screen, which I don't think I'll ever do. I just think because of this scare, I think I will always be going 12 monthly, and that's just my own choice because of how progressed those SYN3 cells were. So really, really happy about that. So phenomenal. I won't be going back to that gynecologist either. I've been a bit vocal about this on social media, but I, with my endo especially, I do not feel like anything positive has happened since my surgery. I feel like I've definitely still got all my signs and symptoms. If not, they have progressed. So this is where, you know, going with your gut. I'm not happy with what I've been through, and I'm not happy with how my health is with endometriosis. And obviously preconception, fertility, I've been vocal on here that I would obviously like to have another child too. So I went to my GP on Monday. My actual GP's on maternity leave, which was quite devastating. So I saw a young registrar, which I was like, okay, I'll give her a shot. Went in there, explained about my endo. I told her about a new specialist that I wanted to see. She wrote me the referral, and I said, look, I'd love to just get a big blood test done for preconception care, but I'd also like to have a progesterone day 21. I use that in inverted commas, progesterone test. She was like, we don't really do that unless you've been trying for at least 12 months. And I said to her, I have endometriosis. I think it would be really helpful to know that information if I'm ovulating or not. So it's surely not that hard. She wrote me, this was what was on my bloods, and I will never go back to her again. And I'm so devastated my GP's on mat leave because I send a lot of my clients to her. So she knows that I'm always after a lot of tests. She did a full blood count, and I've asked for preconception. She goes, nah, I'm not going to do your folate and B12. And I said, why? Folate's one of the major nutrients we need for preconception and pregnancy. She said, oh, you had it done in July last year and it was perfect. And I said, that could have drastically changed considering what I'm telling you. I bleed extremely heavily, my health, I'm fatigued, I don't feel 100%. She would not write it for me. She said, well, just do your iron scan. Right?
It's just something we are up against all the time, isn't it?
Infuriating. So she's done a full blood count, she's done my iron studies, and I was like, make sure transferrin, transsaturation, don't just give me ferritin. She's given me the day 21 progesterone blood test, which I will do tomorrow. And she gave me rubella. That's it. She didn't do any of the other viruses. She didn't do anything else for preconception, nothing. She gave me rubella because she said, at least if we know that you're low on that, you can get vaccinated, because you can't get vaccinated during pregnancy for rubella. And I was just, and again, I just left, and she just deflated. She didn't even know. She was like, I can put you on this medication to stop the heavy bleeding on your period. I just don't know if it's safe for preconception and pregnancy. I'll have to check with another doctor. And I said, oh, look, I'm not interested in any medication. I'm not interested in any medication. I take my Naprogesic when I need it with my period, and that's all I'm happy to take. But even the fact that she had no idea about a medication for, you know, anyway, I just left really pissed off. I left really pissed off. And like I said, I'm not going to go back. Anyway, called the specialist rooms to book in my appointment, and every case now is triaged. So my case is pretty hefty. You know, there's a lot of the SYN3 cells, the cervix and the endometriosis. But the receptionist said, oh, you'll probably get in September. I said, okay, great. And I said, that's fine. I want to see the specialist because she is renowned for endo. That's her thing. That's all she does. That's what she wants to do. So I was just like, keep just whenever an appointment becomes available, you just let me know and I'll make it work. So I kind of have in my head, all right, well, let's see what my body is doing first with, you know, ovulation. I just feel a little bit all out of sorts there, and maybe, you know, we'll start trying for a baby between now and September. I ideally want to go back under the knife for another laparoscopy because I feel like my pain has actually progressed. I feel like something is missing. I know in my gut something is missing. So obviously I have no idea what my fertility is looking like, how that's going to play out since my laparoscopy in July last year. So who really knows? But that's kind of where I'm at with my health. And you sit there and you try and advocate for yourself, but then you also are made to feel like you don't know anything. She asked me, are you taking Allivet? And I just said to her, no, I would never take Allivet. It's a synthetic prenatal. There is no way I'd ever take Allivet. She goes, oh, each to their own. And she goes, you're not a smoker. I suggest eating whole foods. So that includes about 5 serves of grains a day. And I said, oh, I'm a clinical nutritionist. You don't, it's all good. I got that sorted. But this is what she's telling me, you know, all these things. And I'm like, this is what you're telling everyone, right? Every person that comes in. And I just, like you said, it's that generalized knowledge. She wouldn't even kind of, I had to really force her to even look into my hormones, even with a diagnosis of endometriosis. And my fertility was sunny, and it took me 12 months to conceive, and I've had the SYN3 cells, and I had the Letts procedure and all of this stuff, and I'm trying to help myself so I can conceive naturally, you know. So that's the health stuff, and I guess it's always, you know, we're always kind of working on all of that, always. But I just obviously would love to try and conceive naturally. I really don't want to go down the IVF route, and that's what, as soon as they hear you have endometriosis, they're like, oh, IVF, just do IVF. I'm like, no, I conceive naturally with stage 4 endometriosis with Sunny. I, fingers crossed, hope that I can conceive naturally for my second baby with having the excision surgery, you know. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, just all the things that I've been thinking of recently with all of that. And obviously I know so much about the conditions that I have. So you obviously get a little bit of health anxiety here and there, but I'll be so curious to see what my iron and all of my bloods, the ones that she did do, which is barely any, tell me, post everything to do with Letts procedure and things like that. So I'm happy to share all of those results on the podcast so I can let you know. But obviously the biggest one I want to know is my progesterone, because I want to know if I'm ovulating.
For sure. And man, you've been having like some heavy bleeds. Your iron's going to be flatlined.
Absolutely.
But, you know, knowledge is power, sister. And so, as you said, you conceived naturally with Sunny without even knowing that you had endometriosis back then. So just, yeah, you got to hold on to that. Knowledge is power. You've got that knowledge there, and you can put in the methods you need to try to make that happen again, hopefully. What are you doing to, like, heal your cervix and just, you know, because obviously, as you said, you had the biopsy and he was just like puncturing, like all of those things. Like, what are you doing at the moment besides taking Allivet? Lol, jokes. But what are you doing?
Allivet, number one. So I'm on a concoction. I've been on a concoction of things to support with human papilloma virus, because that's obviously what the SYN3 cells are. So I've been on big antiviral protocol for the last 6 months. And, you know, it's hard to say if that's worked or not, because obviously I had the procedure to remove the cells too. But that's a big combination of medicinal mushrooms, herbs to support tissue rejuvenation, collagen, you know, all these immune supporting nutrients as well. I'm not going to go into every single one of them because obviously it's individualized to me. I've been, I guess, dietary. I don't eat gluten and I don't eat cow's dairy, and that's a big kind of endometriosis management. And I do feel a lot better off those foods in terms of just general signs and symptoms. I haven't noticed a huge effect, obviously, in my period health, but I don't have acne. Remember how I suffered on and off about acne, and I totally 100% blame cow's dairy for that, because that's the biggest thing that shifted. When I got off the cow's dairy, I've had flawless skin ever since, and obviously I'm so happy about that, and I don't miss cow's dairy whatsoever because I love goats and sheep's cheese, so fantastic. My supplement regime has changed since receiving the great news about the SYN3 cells. So now I'm on a big preconception kind of supplement regime. So really getting into all of the things that support egg quality. Egg quality for me and all of my preconception clients is what the focus is on. So a lot of antioxidants, a lot of nutrients to support oogenesis, which is basically egg formation. So that's the kind of focus now, is preconception care between now and falling pregnant and now in September.
So fun.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, for me, not for you. Let's face it, like, preconception is an absolute head fuck. I mean, the diet, like, I love, being able to support the fertility the way we do. But no, it's an absolute head fuck, preconception, like, and trying every month. And is it my period? Is it coming? Am I pregnant?
Touch my boobs. You know, it just reminds me of that year when I was trying for Sunny, and the 2 week wait, we've spoken about this so long, it's the longest 2 weeks of your life, and you're looking for every little sign and symptom to initiate, oh, am I pregnant or not? So I bought an ovulation test kit. I just wanted to see, that is definitely not the be all and end all to ovulation. So please know, we want to look at your cervix position, cervical mucus, and what that's looking like around ovulation is a really nice sign and symptom. Your basal body temperature is absolutely key. But for me, that just gives me actually more anxiety, is tracking my basal body temperature each day. Because if I don't see that spike and dip, I just know for me that's not helpful. So I go by different signs and symptoms. Progesterone 21, luteal phase, 7 days after ovulation, blood test for me is what I want to do in terms of testing. So as well, yeah. Well, the ovulation test kit, I did have a LH surge on my day that I thought I was ovulating. So that was really cool to see. So I just kind of wanted to get all my ducks in a row just to see what my hormones are doing, do a little bit of hormone work so I feel a little bit more prepared going into trying to conceive, I guess.
Yeah, and you mentioned to me the ovulation test kit, you were just wanting to do it once to see if you were ovulating and then that be it, so it's not a chore, because that's what, if fertility can become like that. Like, and so, yeah, I think that's really good for everyone to hear, is just like, you don't have to do it every month. And the basal body temperature is awesome, but the other thing to keep in mind is if you are perhaps a mum already of a child who doesn't sleep regularly through the night or what have you, it actually goes out the window, because if you can't guarantee you're not going to be waking up at the same time every day after, at least 6 hours of solid sleep, then yeah, you're not going to get an accurate reading. So that does become difficult if you're already a mother to a toddler or a baby or what have you. But yeah, I mean, it is exciting, but it is a minefield.
Yeah, it is. And I also wanted to touch on this because I think it's a little bit important. So I started seeing a therapist, and I guess this is one of the best things I've done for my mental health, because I've had a lot on, I've been so open with sharing my grief story, and just obviously the diagnoses and just different things that have gone on in my life. And psychologist has never really worked. I love kinesiology. Like, I love all the woo-woo in terms of getting into that kind of spiritual stuff. But I found an incredible therapist who I've started with, and it's something that I'm investing in terms of my mental health, because I know I can get stressed about all the health stuff, and I know I have a lot of grief that I've never dealt with also, I wanted to go into this next phase of trying to conceive and preconception care a lot more calm and a lot more, like I'm doing something for my mental health as well. You know, I do all the things that, you know, sauna, I try to meditate, I've started exercising again, which is absolutely mind-blowing, incredible for me because I'm as sedentary as all hell. you know, doing all the little things, but having a third person who doesn't know anyone or anything just to be able to support me and kind of hold my hand through all the challenges I've had over the last 3 years has just been so phenomenal without it being clinical. And I think that's why psychologists have never really worked for me essentially, because it's been too clinical and it's like, oh, I know this. I just need something a little bit more holistic, I guess. And that's what I've got in this therapist. And it's just so interesting, like February and March, the month of February and March is the worst time of the year for me because I have dad's death anniversary and dad's birthday in the space of 1 month. And anyone who's gone through death knows, you know, the anniversaries and the big kind of days are really, really taxing. And that month I shut off, you know, I shut off. I'm an introvert. I don't want to talk to anyone. I get chronic anxiety to the point where social anxiety, and I've never experienced social anxiety before in my life, and I had it really, really bad this year. I think this year was actually the worst I've been in the last 2 years, which is bizarre because I'm 3 years since dad died. But as well, no one knows, but my dad's death definitely wasn't just a death of, you know, my most loved person. It came with a lot of spider webs, and which I will never, ever, 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 ever share on any platform. And it's all of that unseen stuff that impacts my day to day. And that's why I'm like, I can't keep operating in, you know, fight, flight, freeze response. And especially because once I kind of get through March and February, I'm like, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel again. And then I'm like, great, now let's be proactive. So I've got the tools and the support there for, you know, the next year. And then maybe that month won't be as hectic, you know, for the years to come. So that's, I guess, what I wanted to kind of talk about too, is getting more people in your support network to help you. And it's not just with your physical health. You have to have your mental health, right? Both of them are so entwined and linked. You can't have one without the other. And I always say that in my clinic. So whatever we're doing for our mental health obviously directly impacts our physical health as well. And this is, I guess, the long-winded way of saying what I'm doing for preconception care also.
And I'm proud of you again, sister, because, you know, you could see that you needed that. And you've also been on, you've been to a couple of different therapists in this time to find the one that works for you. And you finally found her, which is amazing as well. So again, you've put them on, you've tried them, they haven't all worked for you, but you've kept on trying to find somebody who's going to support you the way you need. And so, yeah, proud of you for doing that, because it's not always an easy thing to go to them, or to, for some reason there's like this thing around like going and seeing a therapist as a weakness or something, which it's so not.
Yes. And this is the thing. And I had this conversation with my therapist yesterday. It's like a new wellness thing to be like introverted. Like, oh, we all want to like distance ourselves from people and hide away because we need to like, you know, work on ourselves and all this. And she was like, where are you most joyful? And I'm like, I like being around people. Like, I definitely like my alone time, but I don't like too much alone time. I thrive around people. When I'm introverted, that's where all the chit chatter starts. And like I said, a lot of hectic, most fucked up stuff happened around dad's death anniversary that I'm still really trying to get my head around. And I can't be alone with those thoughts. You know what I mean? I'm working through them and I'm so happy to work through them, but I'm better off around people and just like looking at therapy as such a gold standard tool. I feel like everyone needs a therapist. Like, everyone. So you can check in every 6 months, every 2 weeks, every year, whatever that looks like for you, but just so you've got someone there in your court who knows your story and can go, okay, this is where I think this is coming from and this is what's happening here, and here's some techniques and tools that we can work through together to support you. And that's what I really love about it, you know? Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing.
I know, I feel vulnerable again.
No, don't though. Again, like, you know, we came into this episode with the intention to share our story so it helps people go and find what they need as well, you know. And so this episode was all about the health checks, the preconception, and what you're doing in that space, and this is a part of that. So it's like our friend Lola Berry, she is the biggest advocate for therapy, and yeah. She talks about it in our episode that we did with Lola as well, and she's always spoken about it because she's the same. She's like, everybody needs to find somebody who's on their side and just in their team for when they need it. And so, you know, it's not an uncommon thing. It's just, again, for some reason, no one's really talking about it. But that is why we're here doing this show, is to share these really important messages so that people know that it is okay and it's not a sign of weakness at all. And in fact, it's a proactive approach, really.
And that's it. It's proactive and it's not a sign of weakness. And what, you know, I feel elated after those sessions. I'm like, oh, I feel so much better. And I've only had two sessions, but they were quite close together. And I can't get over the first session, how I was feeling before then, like complete wanted to close off from the whole world to where I'm at now. And even Nick's noticed, he's like, wow, your whole demeanor's changed in terms of what, you know, would usually kind of get under your skin in terms of anxiety. So it's really good how that has, you know, shifted already in such a short period of time. And that's why I said to her, I really want to build a rapport with a therapist who's going to be with me the long distance. I'm not here for short term, I'm here for long term. Yeah. And I'm just so thrilled that I have found that person, for sure, for sure.
Absolutely. And two sessions and it's already starting to impact other relationships around you, like game changer.
And that's the thing, you know, I want to show up for Sunny. And I could see when I was in that bubble, I couldn't even mother, you know, I couldn't even mother. I had all this external, oh God, awful, I'll cry, but awful, awful things happen. And I then you're constantly surrounded by people and you're kind of like, I need a minute to myself just to be able to grieve or to be able to do work through what just happened. And I never get that opportunity. I've never had that opportunity since my dad passed away because of these spider webs in the closet, so I've always kind of pushed everything to the side and put everyone first, or tried to. But then when I realized my relationship with Sunny was changing, I was like, I cannot be this mother and I don't want to be this mother. I want to, you know, show up for her 100%, because I only have Sunny 3 days a week. I only have her Saturday, Sunday and Mondays. So those 3 days a week, I want to make the best, you know, I want to be the best version of myself. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to go from 0 to 100. You know, we've been toilet training since January and she was doing so well. And then all of a sudden she's had this massive regression, is pissing through every, you know, piece of clothing ever. And all I'm doing is throwing on 1,000 loads of washing. And I lost it at her the other day. And I was like, what has changed? And I think it's because I have been MIA. You know what I mean? I've been distracted. I haven't been giving her my all, not that I can give it my all the time, but you know what I mean? And Nick and I were thinking, well, is it an attention thing? Because, you know, she's regressed essentially. So it's just all these other little things where I'm like, I need to be a better version of myself, because I was starting to have a really short fuse and temper with Sunny. It's not her fault she's weighing in her pants, you know what I mean? And I'd just be like, what's wrong with you? I don't
But you recognized it. And hey, on this note, I must say one other thing that I had done, and I don't mean to take the sunshine off you right now.
No, but darling.
There is a course called Good Inside, and it is a parenting course.
Oh, this is the one you're doing. Fill us in. Because I actually, you've told me a little bit, but I don't know all the ins and outs.
So a girlfriend of mine, I refer to her all the time. She is like in the child psychology space, and she has... She sends me random stuff. She spends a lot of time with me and my kids and her kids. And, you know, Van, for example, I've talked about his personality. He's like a deep, deep feeling kind of kid, and it comes out in like 0 from 100 is Van. Anyway, and so she sent me this lady one day. It was like a reel on Instagram. Her name's Dr. Becky, and her brand is called Good Inside. And she was running like a live course, and I think it was over the Christmas period, and I was like, oh, I can't even go there at the minute. But now you can access, so you sign up, I think it's like $120 or something for 3 months, and you can access all the webinars and just watch them whenever you need. And it was funny, I originally thought I needed it for Van just because I'm really conscious of his personality and I do my very best to nurture his personality. I just wanted to understand his personality and triggers and stuff more. But from probably December, when Lenny turned two, we actually have had tantrums like you would not believe, like that terrible two we actually never experienced with Van. But with Lenny, whoo, that kid, he's a Sagittarius, but I would say he's got a lot of fire in him. Like, I'm a Sagittarius too, but I don't have much fire in me, as you know. You and I are both polar opposites there. We're both Saggies, and it's like you're the fire and I'm not. And so Lenny's the same. And so his tantrums are just intense. So I signed up to watch some of these courses just to, again, better understand. I always say to Macca, we have three children and our kids never asked to be siblings so soon, or they never asked to be 3 under 3. Like, they never asked to have the siblings be brought into this world and the attention be lost from them. You know what I mean? And so I'm just really conscious always of trying my best to nurture what they need. And so thing, and I've been watching the videos. I at the start just binge watched them. I found them so helpful, but she gives you scripts on like how to do the tantrums. And then even there's courses on siblings. So again, like often when Van loses the plot for whatever reason, he starts to get quite aggressive, and I would often just like pick him up and move him into the bedroom and then go and, you know, pick up the pieces with Lenny or Audrey or whoever he'd hurt. And this was just really good because it reiterated that that's the right thing to do, but it also just helped with wordings at the time so that Van doesn't feel naughty, for example, like, and it's, you're a good kid, you're just having, you know, a tough time right now. And so she helps with like little scripts to say, and that I have found really useful because, again, like, I'm one person and I do solo parent a lot, and so I can only be in one place at one time and attending to one child often at one time. And so I've found it really helpful. So if anyone, you know, it talks about sleep routines. Again, we were in a period where not only Lenny was like going through massive tantrums, but we'd have to lay in the bed with Lenny for hours to get him to sleep. So it helped with like sleep routines. It's helped with emotional like tantrums. Siblings, like all that stuff. So yeah. I'd really, really recommend it for anyone who is needing a bit of help or just needing to like find the wordings and just help their kid go through the motions or whatever they're feeling. Like, it's taught me with Lenny, it's also helped me distinguish, like, I can see that Lenny and Van have very different personalities, and so therefore I have to show up to them in very different ways. And so Van is like, when he's having a tantrum, he likes to be in the room on his own with some space. I sit by the door and I don't look at him. Sometimes I sing a little song that she has mentioned just to calm him down. Often I do like a breathing technique with my fingers, and I just don't look at him. And lately he will hop on the bed, turn his back to me, and he'll start doing his breaths. And then he'll turn back and go, "Mommy, I've done my breaths. I'm ready to go back out." When that happened, that only happened like 3 weeks ago, that was the biggest like, whoa, what a game changer. Like, what we're doing actually is working. You know what I mean? Like, and it's about that consistency. Whereas Lenny, he'll have these major tantrums that last for like half an hour. Van's are 5 minutes. Lenny's can go for half an hour longer sometimes.
Yeah.
But he really needs the cuddles, the attention, like the right, you need to say the right things for Lenny for him to come out of it. Like, if you say, "You're okay, mate," he'll go, "I'm not okay." So yeah. I never tell him how he's feeling. I let him tell me. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just been these little things that Dr. Becky talks about. And obviously I can only do little bits of them at a time, but I just keep going back when I've got spare 5 minutes, or if I'm awake before the kids. Like, on a Friday is always a really challenging day for us because we're coming off the back of 3 days of daycare. Mm-hmm. So that used to be a much more emotional day, and I've got Lenny and Van's emotions and then Audrey trying to fit into the scene as well. And so I will often on a Friday morning wake up half an hour before the kids and just watch one of the videos, and it just really helps set my mentality in the right space so that I can then show up to them on a day that I know is going to be a little bit tougher for everyone, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's all about wording and language.
Mm.
And that's something that I really resonate with, and I need this course, because when I'm not in that bubble, my wording is completely different. When I'm in the bubble, everything goes out the window, and then I'm reactive instead of supportive.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. And I love the breathing of the hand technique. And Sunny and I, we try and say, you know, three things we're grateful for. We've got this amazing book called I Am Calm. And she loves it. You know, she looks at the hand and she'll trace the rainbow and breathe in and out with the rainbow. And we do like three humming breaths just to kind of regulate, you know, her nervous system as well. But it's really interesting. A lot of the time I'm like, okay, mummy's going to do some breaths because I'm a little bit stressed in this moment. She'll be like, no, I don't want to do any breaths. I don't want to do any. And she's really fine. She's a bit like Lenny in that sense. Like the tantrum can go on for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I'll remove myself. And then all she wants is me. I just had, even on Tuesday, she had a monster one when she woke up, and I couldn't quite understand why, because she'd just woken up and all she was doing is crying, crying, crying. I left her and I realized, oh no, she actually needs me. And I just picked her up, took her into my room, and she just cuddled me crying for 30 minutes. And I said, tell me how you're feeling, you know, use your words. And she wouldn't talk to me, but I could just tell she needed the touch.
Yeah.
So yeah, this course would be really good for me.
It is, because it also helps, like it helps you pull them out of that a little bit quicker in whatever they need. So with Lenny, for example, like with Ben, if he can see and hear me, like I will sit at the door, not look at him, and I just over-exaggerate the breaths. I don't even tell him I'm doing it. I'm just so he can hear me, and then he just starts to mimic it. Whereas Lenny, I might sit him on my knee and he'll be cuddling me, and I just put my hand on my heart, and again, I just start like breathing, or I might put my hand on his heart and I just start breathing, and eventually he just falls into line with it. But the thing she talks about is then it's after is like the learning. So it's then you would ask, once they've calmed down, then it's the opportunity for them to learn new information and new skills. So that's when you're like, so tell me, you were really upset before. How were you feeling in that moment? To me, you looked quite sad, but what happened? And, you know, you start, and then they start to open up and talk to you about it. But as I said, the breathing and stuff with them, we've done that for probably a year, and it's only been recent. He's 3.5. It's only been like in recent times he's actually starting to take his breaths and calm himself down like that. So yeah, but anyway, we'll link it below. Obviously, it's not sponsored at all. We might even try to get her on the show because, she's been absolutely amazing. Like, I'm loving watching these videos. Some of them are literally 2 minutes. Some of them are an hour.
Yeah, bite size is good. I like that.
Yeah, so I think, like, you've got the full hour video, but then she's also got that broken down into like key points, and it's like 3 minute video, 2 minute video, 5 minute video, you know, so you can get lots of different snippets and just enough to help reset your mind. Because one thing, and I'm sure we've talked about it a lot on here before, but kids play into our emotions. So if we are feeling stressed, if we are feeling heightened, if we are feeling whatever we're feeling, kids are going to play into that, you know. Like this morning, Macca said to me, oh, I need to pick up the car at 8 o'clock to put it in for a service, and the boys weren't even awake and it was 7:15. I still had to get them dressed, breakfast, and off to daycare. Instantly I become heightened, and I was trying my best to pull myself out of it, but I could see my boys tying into that emotion, and they were starting to become a little bit more heightened as well, you know. So that's, kids play into our emotions. So if we're in check, they're in check.
1,000%. 1,000%. Yeah. 1,000%. Yeah.
Anyway, we've been guest bagging for so long.
We have. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. That was a big, big catch up, but obviously we had a lot to talk about, and it was very much health related, I guess, as well, which I think hopefully has given all our listeners some take homes from all of this. And like we said, if there's anyone you want us to interview or anyone that wants to work with us with our podcast, please slide into our DMs, because we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, amazing. See you guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. That way we can continue to inspire and reach more mamas around the globe. If you would like to get in contact, request a guest or topic, then head to the No BS Approach to Motherhood Instagram page and send us a direct message. Otherwise, until next episode, stay sane, mama.